Okay, dear colleagues, I think we can start. We have a lot of people already here on the call, and we are, well, according to my clock, we are 1 minute past the hour. Okay, so hello everyone. I'm glad to see so many of you on the call, and well, apparently it's... there's a lot of things to do, and today I sent actually to the mailing list, I sent a file I just recently finished. Unfortunately, it hasn't arrived yet, but while working on the file, I discovered a horrible thing. We need to finalize the guideline in 2 weeks, because we have to submit it to the council, and... it will take some time for the councillors to review it, and probably we will receive some comments from them as well. So we'll probably will need to do some updates with the doc. So 2 weeks, and still a lot of things to do. But so, okay, perhaps we will start well according to our agenda. And brief update. So, Bart, can I ask you to give a brief update?
Do you mean about the calls?
Yes.
So we did have some, say, Katrina had some coordination calls, and I attended those as well as Joke as support staff, with ICANN staff and Donna Austin on coordinating the... say the appointment efforts from the CCNSO and from the GNSO side. And the GNSO side is a bit more complicated because it's not just the GNSO council but also the registry stakeholder group who has a role in this process. What is clear is say both of our groups are online and looking at different methods of appointing, in the sense of whether the full councils should be involved in the appointment or a smaller subcommittee from the council. So that's appointing the full slate. The reason is, as you may all recall, the final date of appointment, say, and that's an external date set by the NTIA, is the 15th of August. And having the full councils appointing the full slate of CSC members and liaisons may be a bit of a logistical nightmare, because that's it's end of July, early August, and say the CCNSO has its own procedures to make such a decision, as well as the GNSO Council has its own procedures. So so that's why say they are looking, or the GNSO is looking for a subcommittee as a potential alternative, and you will find it in this latest draft as well. The RISG has a role in, together with the CCNSO Council, in coordinating the appointment of CSC members. As you may recall, the CSC members are appointed by the RISG and the CCNSO, and the coordination is with respect to the diversity. First and foremost, it's the it's very clear the skill set is important, and secondly, it's the diversity criteria. The RISG is looking at a small committee, and so it's a matter of, yeah, when can they meet together with the CCNSO Council or a subset of the CCNSO Council to discuss the coordination. So that's down the path of the process. At the starting point, as some of you may have seen this already, is ICANN's announcement on the call for expression of interest. ICANN has announced it and has shared it with the CWG stewardship and more broadly last week. And the CCNSO will follow up, or the CCNSO Council will follow up with broader information around how the interested CCPLD representatives can and when they can submit their names on the for the CSC. So that process has started as well, and that's one of the reasons to ensure that we can send out, or the CCNSO can send out its call for expression of interest, because it's such limited, there is a limited time frame. That's one of the reasons to have this part of the process ready, well in time, so in 2.5 weeks. That's probably any update. Did I forget anything, Katrina?
Oh, thank you very much, Bart. I think, well, you covered most of it, well, apart from the fact that apparently we'll need to meet with registry's stakeholder group in Helsinki to discuss
the coordination.
Yes, to do the coordination thing, and we have also already started exchanging emails on the process. So it's... I'd say it's much, much, much more clearer now, but there are still some gaps to fill. Of course, it's not. There are things that are still not entirely clear and have to be discussed. So thanks a lot, Bart. So CCNSO info, next agenda item. Okay, are there any questions? Sorry, I will try to be democratic as possible. Are there any questions about coordination with ICANN and GNSO in particular? No? Okay, then next agenda item. So CCNSO info on ICANN call for expression. As you may remember, ICANN, in its information about the Customer Standing Committee, they provide this minimum requirements for the expression of interest. We have our own requirements. May I ask Kim or I don't know, Bart, or who is in charge, could you open, please, the most recent version on Google Docs, the most recent version of the guideline? Okay, so it's very dark. Well, at least on my screen. Oh yeah.
It takes some time to upload.
Yeah. Okay, now it's fine. But the darkness, you know, it was very symptomatic to this document. Okay, so can we scroll down to the annex? Annex A, I think we have Annex A. Because I used, I updated it today, I used the, yes, thank you, that's the part. I used the sample document provided by, developed by ICANN some time ago. Now it looks a bit different, but I like this this particular form. It looks a little bit different. could you make it a little bit bigger? And so this will go as a call for volunteers. So we give some basic information in the beginning. Then we ask to fill in the missing part, like full name, CCTOD, affiliation, geographic region. Let's go down to the next page. And if you can make it a little bit, still a little bit bigger, it would be really nice. Yeah, well, okay, here is skill set and experience that, well, minimum requirements identified by ICANN plus our requirements we used in the text of the guideline and then later in our calls for volunteers. So here, well, previously ICANN had this column here, meet requirement, yes or no. Now it's removed, but I think it really fits here very well. So when the person, a potential candidate, starts filling in the form, they can just indicate. Of course, it's their own assessment, but it's still easier to see for the counselors when they start evaluating the document. And then again, probably a person themselves, they will start thinking about do they really qualify or not. Can we go a little bit still a little bit down? Yeah, I would like to ask you to go through these requirements and see if I have missed anything, or maybe there's something must be rewritten, or maybe we need to add something. So it would be really nice. A little bit down. Next page. More down. Yeah. So here they try to evaluate themselves, and then there are some... can we still go down? More. When we have checkboxes and something like that. Okay. Could we scroll down? Oh, connection lost, at least for me. Are you still there? Do you hear me? No?
Yes, we do, Katrina.
Okay, that's good, because my IP phone sometimes hangs up, and since my internet is connected via the phone, I might get disconnected. I just recently discovered something is definitely wrong with my IP phone. Okay, yes, thank you. That's good. So here, for example, are also some checkboxes. This one is particularly important for the initial appointment, because we need to understand if the candidate is ready and willing to serve a 3 years a term. So it's really important, this initial appointment. Still a question what to do if top two candidates both are ready to serve only 2 years terms. It's how are we defining conflict of interest? Yes, here we had a longer explanation from ICANN. I removed that part. Maybe we need to add it. Maybe there's no need to have this conflict of interest part at all. It was in the first version of this form, but I think in the current version of minimum requirements, it's I think it's not there. But it was there was a reference to the bylaws, where they say that bylaws explain what what are we supposed to understand by the term conflict of interest?
Katrina?
Yes, Bart.
It may still be relevant for the CCTLDs who want to apply as well, because one could imagine that, the CCTLD who, say, the employer of the CSC member has a conflict with IANA, then that person needs to step down. So from that perspective, it is relevant, and it's part of the CWG recommendations as well. And to understand what conflict of interest means and when, then you refer back to the ICANN bylaws. But it was an issue identified by the CWG stewardship.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Bart. Yeah, well, perhaps we need to be more specific here, of course, as we can discuss it, and if people believe that it's not so necessary to warn people here, because it should come without saying that if the bylaws state certain actions, certain behavior as a conflict of interest, there's definitely no need to stress it here that even if a person does not understand, if they are under, if they act under conflict of interest, there must be, they're still liable. Yeah, so as Ben suggested, that we put a reference in item 5 that links back to the relevant bylaw, or charter, yes, or both. That's true, yes. Yeah, I think we could add this to the to-do list. Anyway, please have a look at this, the new form, and please comment and write your own suggestions. So these are the forms that will be submitted to the council, and councillors will have to review information. And we also add that at the end of the document, not the entire document, but of this expression of interest, I think it's the next page. If you could please scroll a little bit, here it is, supporting document. So we also ask to submit CV. No, a little bit back. Yeah. So here you can see also old version. You see old version below, the one we were working on. So I really hope that I took into account everything that was there, but still, if you find something missing, it would be nice to add. So and we also asked to attach to this expression of interest CV and a letter of support from the CCTLD the person works for. Okay, so this is about the actual expression of interest, and now perhaps we can go, unless there are questions or additions to agenda item number 3. If not, we can go to the beginning of the document and start looking at it. We have a lot of comments, a lot of additions from Alejandra, so we could review them. And now, and David, please.
Thank you, Katrina. I just have a question on the timing for the expression of interest, and wonder if it would be good to do one of those emails we've done once before to the community saying, you know, this is coming. And maybe send that, an email like that as soon as the board signs off on the new bylaws, so that we know, you know, specifically what the CSC bylaw is. But I'm just curious if you or Bart knows what the timing is for sending out the formal expression of interest. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, David. Later on the agenda, we will talk about this document I sent to everyone, but nobody has received it yet. Well, at least I haven't received it yet. We'll have timeline there, but... So I would really prefer not to talk about the timeline now, unless Bart has something to say.
Not really, but as I said, discussed by this by the working group some time ago, given there is this call for or the announcement, there will be a CCNSO Council announcement or an announcement on behalf of the Council that this is forthcoming, so people can prepare what is needed. And some of the requirements are very clear because they're not just the bylaws, but also the CSC charter itself. So there could be a reference included to the CSC charter. The real call for expression of interest, yeah, that's only feasible when after the council has signed off on the guideline itself, but say we could include that information in the announcement or the information to the community as well. So.
Okay, thank you, Bart. So your hand is up still. Okay, so let's start with the document, and let's have. Let's see what we have there. Okay, in the beginning, so it's on the page 2, I think. On the page 2, we have the first comments. Okay, maybe I'll ask Alejandra, who apparently So Alejandra, maybe now I'll just hand it over to you because you just dissected the document and you have I think some very good proposals here. So can we start with Alejandra, please? Can you tell what you propose here with this one? So, for example, now you propose to have this as its own section. I think we have to remove it from here. I think we agreed on that during our discussion last time. But it's still here. And probably now it's time to inform you that when we talk about the about TLD registry operator not associated with a CCTLD or DTLD registry, according to RFC, it was only one TLD was identified as the one that qualifies to be a TLD. Not associated with a CCTLD or a GTLD. So it's .ARPA. And apparently Internet Architecture Board have informed us that they are not planning to appoint any members to CSC. So at least at this point... This is not relevant here, but probably at some point in the future they will be interested to appoint somebody. Okay, now connection is lost.
Are you still there, Katrina? I can still hear you. Katrina? Katrina just restarted her IP phone, so if you bear with us for a minute, she'll be back. She got disconnected. Katrina is almost done.
Okay. Hello. Hello again.
Hi, Katrina. Yeah, we can hear you.
Sorry. I asked my colleague to change this
damn phone. Apparently, it's I'm going to die soon. Okay. So I don't know if Bart gave you some additional information about.
No. We were just waiting for you. It was nice and quiet.
Much. Okay, so there will be no appointments from non-CCPLD,
non-CCPLD, nor GPLD registered. So, but maybe we still need to say something about them. But yes, maybe not in this particular section. Okay, I think we will have to review it and move it to other place. Okay, then 3.2, I understand that we're talking about two additional consecutive terms. Bart, maybe you can clarify if you remember from the...
Yes, I will. It's. I believe this is part of the CWG, say the CSC charter as prepared by the CWG stewardship. But I'll check again.
I think.
Katrina, you are very faint.
Okay, that's because now I'm not using the phone, I'm talking, I'm using my headset. I'll try to talk louder. Is it okay now?
It's very good.
Okay, good. So, okay, let's check this part. Okay, thanks. Okay, let's check this part. Next one we have timelines. What else do we have here? Alejandra, if you could, initial appointment, that's my comment, and after I have, every year the CCNSO Council and the GNSO Council have to, first they have to appoint, members, and second, we have to adopt the full slate annually. Well, not for the first 2 years, but definitely after that. Okay, but we still there's still a question: shall we have two separate? Should we have these two separate? Lines within the guideline about initial appointment and then about regular or annual appointment. Yeah, that's true. It will be good not to repeat everything, that's why we have to identify what parts are for initial appointment only and what are for regular appointments. Yes, so that is a trick here. I think perhaps when we're more or less clear with the initial point. And it will be crazy.
Katrina, this is Bart. Say, one of the reasons to include say initial appointment and then look at later is, as Martin has regularly pointed out, is that the CCNSO and GNSO count or the GNSO need to review the CSC charter after 1 year of operation. So that will be in time for the second call for volunteers, assuming, say, people get appointed the first time 2 and 3 years. Liaisons is less clear when they will be appointed, how often, if their term is 2 years as well, as far as I recall, initially. I'll look into it. But that was the reason for especially focusing on the initial appointment and then moving forward, say, if something comes up, we can revisit this, or the CCNSO needs to revisit anyway the guideline in order to check whether it's still in line with the updated version of the CSC charter. Katrina, she's dropped again, so she'll reboot again. Are there any questions around this area, around timelines, etc.? As said, I'll look into the, that's an action item, I'll look into the terms of the appointed members, and I'll also look in if there is any language around the term of the liaisons, because that's important as well. So subsequent appointments. Could you scroll down again, Kim? We briefly touched upon the call for volunteers, and which is in the annex. Probably, if you agree with the line of reasoning of Katrina on the initial call for expression, then probably this section in the CSC charter needs to reflect the latest as well. So if you could comment either or check the box either if you agree with the approach Katrina suggested around focusing first on the general call for or announcement for call for expression and then update this one, it's fairly easy to update this section as well. Can you scroll down a little bit? So the selection process itself. Oh, here we go. Alejandra, you had some. Oh, you only updated the title. I see. Scroll down again, Kim. Selection process. Only update. Okay, there is one bit, little bit down. Thank you. Let me check. Ben, I've noted your comments in the charter, and I think it's only it's only logical to include such a line in the update. I see Martin is not on the call, but he has commented on the on this section. I believe he has suggested, if I recall properly, he has suggested some alternative language. I don't see it. Katrina, are you back on the call? No, she's not. Mariana is typing. As soon as Katrina is back, say maybe we have a look at this particular section. Martin sent it by email. I believe it was about a week ago. And that was language, I think he, if I recall correctly, he discussed with David. David, is that correct? And if so, could you allude to it a little bit? David?
Bart, sorry.
Yeah.
Stuck on mute there. I can, if you give me 1 minute. I need to go back and refresh my memory because I work with Martin on some language and I work with Stephen on some other language, and I'm a bit confused right now. So just bear with me for a few minutes and I'll put my hand up.
Okay, thank you. So we park this one for a minute. Let's scroll down. Could you scroll down again? And as soon as I find it, I will put it in the chat, the language from Martin. Again, these were comments made by, if I read it correctly, Alejandra. That's the, you have, oh, this is with respect to the consultation with the RRSG. Six councillors. I don't know, Alejandra, you had some comments on these, or is it Katrina?
No, 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 it's not me. I think it's Alejandra. So, hello,
welcome
I'm back,
back again.
For some time. I tried to find my system, but probably it might take some time to fix it. So, hopefully, I'll stay with you for some time. So I see that David's hand is up.
David?
Thank you, Katrina, and thank you, Bart. I put my hand up in response to a request from Bart just a minute ago, and it deals with language that Martin and I worked on, and I was just a little bit confused. I needed to refresh my memory. In any event, Martin took the lead, but he and I worked on language that clarified the idea of the council removing a member from the CSC, and Martin posted language that he and I had agreed on the email, and basically I'll read that paragraph. It is as follows. Any CSC member selected and appointed by the CCNSO Council may be removed and replaced at any time by the CCNSO Council. The Council will notify the CSC member of the reasons for deselection. The CCNSO Council and the affected CSC member will discuss whether the CCNSO Council will publish the reasons for the action. In all cases, the Council's decision will be final. He and I agreed on that, and we had originally needed clarification over my idea that the council should have unfettered discretion, and Martin was concerned about being able to deselect someone for no reason at all, and we came up with this language that we both agree with. And so, Bart, that is what Martin and I had talked about, and that's the language that he sent to the letter, so thank you.
Yeah, and I have included in the chat, so you can check it. But that's point six. So, could you scroll up again a little bit? Going back to the that's the bit about the six. So, no, on the selection criteria, there was a comment from Martin on selection. Scroll up.
On six, council was it was five.
Ah,
two.
Here you are. Yeah. Oh, this is a comment from Martin, I believe, say that's what we just discussed, and I thought he'd submitted language on this one, Katrina. This was based on the individual council ranking, the secretariat will. That's the section. So that's where we were with the discussion.
We discussed it during the call last time. Yes, he's worried about diversity. How can we ensure the diversity? And I think we discussed that with all other parameters, so to speak, being equal, we should try to select those. Those that are, ensure that we do not select two members from the same region. That's what we discussed last time.
Yeah. So you want to have some...
Have what?
Do you want to include some language to ensure this, or leave it as it is?
I don't know how we can add. What can we do here?
At the same time, but this is. Katrina, this is me, and it's more about, say, what the others think. At the end of the day, This is also about accountability of counselors. If you look at the criteria, it's very clear that the counselors are supposed to select a candidate based on skill set and experience and diversity criteria. And it's very clear that's a subjective assessment based on the responses on the call for expression, and that's added up, and you end up with a slate of candidates. And I think there is no way you can ensure that only if all things being equal, but that should be calculated in, because people will know, and that's part of the conversation with the RISG as well. You say, if you have a set of five candidates, it's very clear from the ranking who they are, and say if there are two or three from the same region, that's the result based on say the overall assessment. And I think, but that's the way it was designed at the time, say that the council's accountability, whether they act as suggested by the guideline, is the ultimate proof. To ensure it in the guideline is probably a bit of an overkill.
I agree. It's really if we talk about transparency, the selection criteria, selection process must be very clear. And if we start mingling with final ranking, it's not transparent anymore. So I don't know how to ensure transparency. I understand Martin, who's worried that we select two candidates from the same region. And it's a possibility. It's quite possible that something like this happens. But if we get, for example, two or three top ranking candidates from the same region, how can we justify selecting the fourth candidate who apparently received less votes from the councillors? I don't know.
It's part of it is the only way you can avoid, say, you can't do it through the process itself, because you talk about individual assessments, and you don't want, unless you want to have a full undisclosed discussion by the council or by those councillors who want to elect. Say the next best is that you record what has been done, and that the council is accountable for its actions, in the sense of, and that's part of the rules of the CCNSO. Probably this is one of those decisions that falls under the rules of the CCNSO, so that it can be recalled by a vote of the members. And secondly, it's a matter of the SONAs or the CCNSO's own accountability and how it will evolve over time.
Thank you. Any other comments from other participants on the call? David, that's absolutely correct. Yeah, we cannot anticipate who will volunteer. So probably we end up with 10 people from the same region, and there's definitely no way for us to select a non-volunteer from another region. So that's my question to the group. Are we willing to accept the risk of running into a situation that we select two members from the same region? Of course, our councillors still need to take diversity into count when they do their work. But so the question is, when individual councillors have ranked top five candidates, taking into account diversity and all other considerations, and they submit their vote, and the secretariat comes up with a ranking based on individual rankings. We take top two candidates, regardless of diversity. Simple yes or no. If yes, that means that no matter if they are both women or from Asia-Pacific region or whatever, we take top two candidates. That's yes and no. Then we must work on some wording how to ensure diversity even after we have received voting from individual councillors. So I see Alejandra voted yes. Yeah, well, as David suggested, if this becomes an issue, it should be raised in annual charter review. So, have yes from Alejandra, yes from Stephen, apparently from David, from Ben. Others, from Eduardo. Okay, so thank you. So let's just then ensure that the council decision is transparent and it's clear, well, rules of the game are clear and no ways to play with the final scoring. Okay, so thank you. Can we move to the next then? We have here, so we have a couple of comments from Alejandra again. So consult with, it is, yes, according to the proposal, the final slate of the CSC is supposed to be, must be adopted by the CNSO Council and the GNSO Council. However, the work and the members are selected by registry stakeholders. And we have to consult with the registry stakeholders. Should we leave here GNSO or put YSG? That's a question. Of course, perhaps it would be clearer if we put GNSO, but at the same time it would be misleading because it's really a registry stakeholder group we are going to Bart?
Katrina, my suggestion is to leave RSIG and again check whether it's to provide a slate of members and liaisons is correct. The first step is definitely with the registry state, say the CCNSO Council is supposed, or it's a designated group from the CCNSO Council, is supposed to coordinate with the RISG on diversity, etc., of members. And it, I believe not on liaisons because they do not determine it. The final step is that the CCNSO Council and the GNSO Council need to approve the full slate. So there are two steps in that process. First is the coordination, and this assumes that the Council has not made up or has not fully determined its membership yet. And then the second step is the approval of the full slate, so that means members and liaisons.
Okay, thank you. Alejandro, any questions on that? Yes, regarding time, that's, I think we must be flexible here, because consultations won't happen overnight. Well, we have final deadline. Can we be more specific here? I doubt it, because it should be coordinated with registry stakeholder group. Otherwise, it's if we say within 3 days and they say within a week, it might not be. Eduardo, please mute. I think it's your mic that is on.
Yes.
So I don't know if we can be more specific here. I'm not so sure about that, but perhaps when we maximum of 2 weeks. Not 2 weeks. Okay, let's finalize that a little bit later when we talk about timeline. Because at this point it's probably it's not so easy. Okay, let's move to the next one. It was from me, six councillors. Yeah, I thought we could have less people, but if we select a councillor per region, it could be fair, and perhaps let's stick to six councillors. So I just resolved this comment, and I'll just leave six councillors there. But it's still up to the council to decide. So. Next one. Okay, next council meeting. Okay, next council meeting, I think. Fair enough.
David, Katrina? Yeah.
Thank you, Katrina. Steve, I just wanted to mention that there was a language on diversity that I was to work on with Stephen coming out of the last meeting, and Stephen and I have been working on it, and we finalized some language over the weekend. And so I just wanted to mention to you that there will be language coming. It had to do with sections 4.4.1 and 4.4.2, I believe. And I think Stephen has just sent them to Bart. And so I just wanted to let you know that that action item, we have been working on it. And I could read through it if you wish, but that language is on its way. It's really, we were tasked with coming up with a more crisp way of talking about the diversity requirements.
Yeah, okay, thank you very much. Yes, that was on the to-do list, and it's not 4.4 whatever anymore. I think now we have correct numbering in in the Google Docs, because there were some problems with number, at least for me. There were some problems. Okay, Bart, you wanted to say something.
It's not all that.
There's no hand at all for you, but you started saying something.
David had his hand up.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so yeah, I agree with Alejandro's proposal, so it's next council meeting, not this meeting. On the other hand, next council meeting, this meeting, okay, it's, maybe so. No, the question is, issue is that we really need to have a council meeting very close to this election. Okay, What do we have here? Approval of proposed slate, as Alejandro pointed out, we need a framework due date for this. Let's talk about this again, about date a little bit later. And we discussed this, Martin's comment and Martin's response here. So we have now section 7. And we have a proposal from Martin and David, as discussed earlier. Sorry, I think let's resolve this, because clearly I think it is here and everything is in order. I resolve.
Katrina, for those who haven't seen it, I've typed it again in the chat so people can read. So that's the first paragraph of the section.
Okay, so this is
okay, we still have this removal at the request of the CSC.
We need to cover this part. We part, and I will go through the guideline and types in whatever part has permission. Nice. We need to do it really quickly. So let's move to section number 8. We have here a proposal from Martin. About the vacancy, in case we lose a member. We should fill in the vacancy. So Martin proposes to have a list of volunteers that are ready to appoint a successor from that list. If we have something like this, then one thing is probably we should add another checkbox to the expression of interest. And the second, then we just, the secretariat needs to keep an eye on this list and perhaps periodically ask on that list in case it happens. Any objections to that? We add another checkbox to this. And then here we say that period. How does this sound to you?
Katrina, you're getting very faint again.
Okay. Getting back, I'll try to repeat. One thing that we have to do if we want to address the issue raised by Martin, we can, first we add an extra checkbox to the expression of interest, and the second one, here we ask the secretariat to maintain the list of those volunteers who are ready to step in should the need arise. Okay? But is it your hand or wanted to say something?
Yes, the only as a concern, I This may work very well early in the process, but once you're 1.5, almost 2 years into the work of the CSC, say, what would you do if, say, somebody needs to be removed? Do you want somebody to check first if that person is still available and then reappoint it, or just go out for a call for volunteers? So it's cleaner, in my view, to, if somebody gets removed, to send out the call for volunteers again. And there is a vacancy. You can ask somebody to stand in for a vacancy, but for transparency reasons, go back and send out a call for volunteers. Otherwise, it's the initial...
I understand your point, and I think you're right. But we select members for 2 years period. If we remove a member, or a member for some reason becomes unavailable for its service, and the CSC, for example, 1 to 3 months after they were appointed. I totally agree with you, but if we have only, for example, 2-3 months left for the end of the period, it's we definitely have to issue a call for volunteers for the next period. But it might mean that we end up with 6 months or 5 months without a member on a CSC, so probably that's not a good idea.
If you look at the language at the, if you look at this paragraph, maybe that should be changed, and the order should be changed. Say the, but that's just me thinking about again about the accountability, etc. It's the CCNSO Council should first appoint a somebody for the interim to fill the vacancy as soon as possible, and this could be done through, say, the list. Then you go out, say, in the meantime, once this decision made, because it has a huge impact, then you go out for a call for volunteers at the same time, and that person who is filling it could submit his or her name again. But at least then you have a clear, there is a person, or there are two members from the CCNSO, appointed by the CCNSO, on the CSC. At the same time, you have a clean start again. Because this is, if a push comes to shove and somebody needs to be removed, it's quite a decision.
Oh, that is true, but still there are practical considerations that we have to take into account. So what others think? I see there's discussion in a chat window. So Ben thinks that, can we say that CCNSO appoints a replacement until the end of term for the CSC member who left to move? Then when the next term comes up, the call for volunteers is issued. We have Bart saying to have an interim alternate, and then after call for volunteers, he, she can be ratified or not. Okay, that case perhaps we need to be more clear with the wording here.
Yes, if Katrina, this is Bart again. If you look at the final sentence of this section, it's for purposes of blah, 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 vacancy shall be deemed to exist. Then the CCNSO, the final sentence reads, the CCNSO Council shall use its reasonable effort for filling such a vacancy within month after occurrence. And it could be, say, on an interim basis. And then at the same time you start the call for volunteers. or the temporary replacement is already included in the final paragraph. A temporary replacement may be appointed, and then you go into, at the same time you make that decision as a council, you go into the process of a new call for volunteers.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, well, it seems a reasonable approach. Any objections?
We were still waiting.
David, I can accept Bart's idea, but wonder why not select an alternate with each cycle. Could you be more specific? Please don't type. You can just start speaking, David.
Thanks, Katrina. I was just wondering, and by the way, I like Bart's idea, but I was just wondering that when the council chooses the two representatives, could they choose three, one of which would be an alternate for each two-year period or whatever the period is that's, you know, that met all the conditions and was willing to volunteer but simply wasn't chosen as one of the two. But frankly, I like Bart's idea as well. Thank you.
Katrina, may I respond to David's suggestion? Yeah. What is interesting is, say, what you end up if you would follow that procedure, you may end up with candidates number three and four on the list, so with a lesser skill set than the two appointed ones, assuming that's the main criteria of the councillors, or you run the risk that the people you appoint have a lesser skill set.
Well, I think that the council should not appoint a person with a skill set. Let's perhaps stick to the procedure. So if a current member is not available anymore for any reason, the CCNSO council may select a temporary replacement and issue the call for volunteers to look for a permanent member, or not permanent, but a member for the remaining term of the member who has become unavailable for the phrase it. Yes? Is that the correct summary? Multiple attendees are typing. Okay, for David, it seems a fair summary. Alejandra's support. And Bart, we will update the draft to make clearer. Okay, Stephen supported as well. Okay, so thank you. Let's see, what else do we have here? Currently nothing. We have an expression of interest, and we're already quarter past the hour. So let's summarize the next step for this one. So Bart and I, we go through the draft and try to make it smoother, and you just keep an eye on the doc. We will let you know when we come up with the next iteration, so you can have a look and comment. So now, can I ask Kim, could you upload that document, the council information for the council? It has a timeline there, sorry, I will keep you on the call for some more time. So, Here is the information that we will send to the counselors so that they understand what's going on and what we expect from them. So here we have a timeline with four major points. One is for us, so we need to have the guideline ready and submitted to the CCO Council. Then the CCO Council has to adopt the guideline. Then we issue a call for volunteers, and at the end, the CCO Council has to adopt the full slate of the CSC. Yes, and now if we could scroll a little bit down. No, not that much. Yes, thank you very much. Yeah, that's fine. Yep. So, no, that's too much. That was excellent. No, if it's possible, so that we could see those circles. Okay, that's fine. Yep. Thank you very much. As you can see from the colors used here, lighter blue is for the council, darker blue is for us, for Guidelines Review Committee. Then orange dots indicate when we need to inform the community. And the gray one is when we have a deadline for submission of expression of interest, and yellow one for coordination with registrar stakeholders group. So the guideline must be adopted on the council call on 16 June. That's the last. Apparently, that's the last council call, council meeting before meeting in Helsinki, and I believe that the guideline must be published before the meeting in Helsinki. So this, of course, we could do that by online vote, but it's still better to discuss it during the call. No, don't move the... No. Can we go back? Yes, thank you. Which means that at least a week before the call, we need to send materials to the counselors. Of course, the sooner the better, but at least a week before. That gives us a tight timeline. So 16 is Thursday. Thursday before that is 9th. It really would be good to have everything clear for ourselves in 2 weeks' time. So we submit it to, okay, before that we need to send an email to the community in which we're saying, okay, it's coming, just as David suggested today. It's coming, get ready, you will, these are the requirements, and you will be also asked to provide the support from your employer, and from and you also need to provide your CV and everything. So start working on the docs. That's even before we have the guideline ready. Then the counselors review guideline in case they have some suggestions, anything. So we will need to update it. Then, hopefully, on the 16th of June, the council adopts the guideline. Right after that, we inform the community, okay, here is the guideline, these are the rules of the game, and that's how members will be selected.
Next thing, and from the community, we give, again, in Helsinki, during Helsinki meeting, we have another session for the community where we explain everything in details. We answer the questions and everything. And then we issue a call for volunteers. I propose we could have it on the 30 June. And then we have slightly more than 2 weeks, the deadline for submissions of expressions of interest are on 15th July. A week during which all the councillors are asked to submit their selection of 5 candidates, and secretariat finally summarizes the votes, sends two or 5 top candidates to the council list, and not the council list, to those councillors that are eligible vote. Because if you remember from our guideline, if a councillor stands for a position on the CSC themselves, then they're not eligible to vote. It's one of the conflicts of interest. So, and by 22nd July, we need those two candidates selected, and we send information to ICANN secretary informing that these are two of our members. And then somewhere between 22nd July and 10 August, we need to coordinate with the registry stakeholders group, so that we are hoping that other SOJC submitted primary and secondary candidates for liaison, so we can play around with the full slate to ensure diversity and all the other things. And then by 10 August, around 10 August, we decisions of council adopt the full slate. So this is something that those milestones that we send to the councillors so that they are aware of the process. Any comments on this? Any questions? If not, let's move to the next thing, because there are things that we need to discuss. How the CCNSL Council will select CCNSL members for the Customer Standing Committee, and how we're going to adopt the full slate. So, selection of members, 15 July, Secretariat summarizes all the volunteers and all their submissions, all their expressions of interest, CVs and everything, sent to the councillors eligible to vote. This is a proposed timeline that by 19 July, the councillors review the list, rank the candidates, email the top 5 selection to the secretariat, and secretariat summarizes everything, puts into a nice Excel table, and automatically we see who are the two top candidates. And then on 21st July, the council needs to adopt this final selection. Still a question, should we do an email or call? This is something to discuss with the with the counselors. And then let's move to the second, a bit down, please, to be slow. Thank you. Yes, there are still questions, how to ensure diversity, what to do if the top two candidates are A from the same region. That is fine, as we discussed today, so apparently that's the risk that we are willing to take. And B are not willing to serve 3 years. This is and could potentially be a problem here. Because we clearly need one member to serve 3 years. And what to do if both of our top candidates are not willing to do to serve 3 years. So this is an issue here. Any suggestions of how could we advise the council to deal with this issue? Any suggestions? Well, we can, yes, as Alejandra proposes, we could use the vacancy procedure. Yes, perhaps. This is one of the ways to do that. Oh, 3 years, 3 years period is quite a commitment. And if we ask, to submit your expressions of interest only if you're ready to serve 3 years, I think we could significantly lower the number of. I think that perhaps our councillors will have a different view on that, but I think that's a good suggestion that we, in case we cannot have a 3 year commitment from our candidates, so we could fill in those. Now maybe they will love that after 2 years of service and they will change their mind and want to stay on PSC forever. So, okay, let's just propose to the council that if the top two candidates are ready to commit only 2 years of their lives to this, we will deal with this issue in 2 years and probably let's not just not worry about that. Okay, then adoption of full slate. There are, actually, for the council, there are three ways to do that. One is that the council, the full council, does everything. So they select the final slate in consultation with the registry stakeholder group. And vote on the full slate. The council. Let's scroll to the next option. Next option is that the council selects, as we discussed today, as we have proposed that in the guideline, the council selects a subcommittee from six members. And they talk to registry stakeholder groups. Well, clearly, this is a more efficient way because it might be tough if 18 councillors start talking to registry stakeholder group. Now, I'm not saying it's impossible. It just might be a little bit inefficient. But still, the final slate is adopted by the entire council. And the third option is that the Citizens of Council nominate a set of councillors to select the final slate in consultation with the registry stakeholder group. And then we also believe that they will do good adopting the full slate on behalf of the council. So there are pros and cons for each model. I tried to summarize them there. Maybe there are some other pros and cons. I see some questions in the chat room. So Stephen asks, CCNSO Council votes on both the CCNSO proposed members and the... So the CCNSO Council at the end, when CCNSO Council adopts CSC, the CCNSO Council votes on the full slate. So those are members, and members are two members from the CCNSO and two members from the GNSO, and all the liaisons. Yeah, okay. Yes, but we still have to come up with this final slate. And this final slate, to come up with a final slate, we need to do that in consultation with registry stakeholder groups. Which means, again, for example, if ALAC has nominated the primary candidate John and secondary candidate Elena, then we, in consultation with registry stakeholder group, if we see, for example, that our members are, we have nominated two women, and the registry stakeholder group have nominated two women, and we see, oh, Jesus, four women, we definitely need John here. So we take John from ALAC's nominations for liaison. Or it could be the other way around. So in that case, we say, okay, good that ALAC nominated a woman, so we take Elena on board. So we come up with this final slate in consultation. So we just look for diversity and everything. So, is this clearer now? So we need to work, we need to consult with the registry stakeholder. That's one thing. We come up with a full slate. And then at the end, the CCNSO Council needs to vote on the slate. Is it this, there are three ways to do that. Probably we need some feedback from the council on how they would prefer to do that. So maybe they don't want the full slate to be voted on by six councillors only. So this is the current version of the document. It might not be clear, so please take into account that you know the process, you know the guideline. We've discussed this several months now. If you could have a look at this document and point out to those parts that are not clear, need to be described in more details, and let me know. It would be great to send this document to the council within three next days. So please, Alejandra, we're not in the position to decide which... actually, you are, because you are on the council, but the Guidelines Review Committee is not in the position to decide which way to choose. We are summarizing possible scenarios, and it's up to the councillors to make their choice. So Alejandra, Stephen, think about this, and so time slot was a little bit before. So please have a look at the document. Feel free to comment to to add some explanation, some missing parts, and please send it to, back to me by Wednesday. Really appreciate that. So thank you very much, and we also need to, when we have this, we will start working on the information for the community. Any comments, any questions? Okay. If not, thank you very much for being on the call and for participation in the discussion. Sorry for my technical glitches. I'll have my iPhone changed. Hopefully nothing like this happened next time. So we have two intense weeks in front of us, and let's talk in 2 weeks, and definitely in the meantime on the mailing list. Thank you very much, and well, let's stay in touch. So thank you. Have a good remaining part of the day, and goodbye.